They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I'm joined today by Jim Lane. Jim is in North Carolina, and he is an advocate, activist, and a realtor, a manager, right, Jim? And you have a website. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do down in North Carolina and what you hope to do all over the place.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me on the show. I've listened to you for a long time and listened intently with a lot of people. I got involved in HOAs first time in 1983. I was in a community, a condominium community, and I was asked if I was interested in being on the first board of directors after the developer took over or left. And everything was in shape, except we discovered he left us a little short on some money. just hadn't funded everything the way he had been promised. And we took care of that. So I stayed on that board for the whole time I owned the property, which was 13 years. And I think 8 or 9 of those years I served as president. I had a terrific board of directors and great people and a great association. There were just 93 of us, so it was pretty small. But my exposure from 83, when that started, up through 95, so about 12 years, my experience was very positive. We had a great group of people. People were involved. We didn't have an attorney breathing down our neck, wanting to bill more hours. And we had a few financial issues, but we had some financial people, including myself, who had managed businesses before. And we had a great group of people. So, you know, I had some good thoughts. So go forward about 10 more years into the, you know, about 2006, I got looking at buying myself a home that was in an HOA community. Likewise, had been started by a developer. I knew the developer. I knew the builder. Got involved. And then became, like the first time around, on the board of the first owner board after the developer had left. And in this case, the developer left us in reasonably good shape, not a concern. And frankly, that is a concern in some places across the country, but in my case, it was not. And I got on the board, and lo and behold, there were a couple of issues that led to the board taking objection to some things I was suggesting needed to be done. And that started the board against me. And two of the issues, one of them was actually a issue with our streets and the way the streets had been done, and we needed to make some changes in parking arrangements. But the board of directors was against what I was doing, so it became me against the board. The town was in favor of changing it. The streets in North Carolina belong to the state, maintained by the city if you're within a city. And unknown to me, what was happening is we were putting people at risk because neither the fire department nor the EMT, in fact, UPS trucks, couldn't get into the community. And so I went to my personal attorney and said, what do I do? And he said, get off the board of directors. Because if somebody dies in there because the board has failed to correct a known issue, and that's what was going on, the board was voting against me to fix it. And so I got off the board. Even though you're indemnified in North Carolina being on a board, and you have D&O insurance to protect you, it doesn't protect you from negligence. So I got off the board. A couple of years later, I decided after 4 years of the board not paying any attention to some of our landscaping, I decided I'd drop a couple of pansies in a flower bed that is across from my home in a park. Now, that's common property. I had been asking him for years if I could go out there and at my expense do something to improve the looks of the community, and never got a response. Now, this is the same board that became against me because I was not supporting their desires to resist the change to the parking. So, long story short, they wind up putting a fine on me, and $19,000 later, I saved my home from foreclosure.
$19,000 fine, or is that including other stuff?
That was fines, fees, court costs, three lawyers, with the board never agreeing to meet with me to try to resolve it. They held the hearing that is required by our documents, held the hearing while I was out of the country, knowing that I was out of the country, and passed judgment against me without my even having a public hearing. So at that point, I became involved and got involved with the legislature. This was in 2010, so 5-6 years ago. And since then, what I've discovered is the homeowner association powers that be and the legislators and the lobbyists have pretty much sold a bill of goods to everybody. Sold a bill of goods in the sense of, we're going to protect your community, we're going to keep the pink houses and the cars on blocks, and we're going to keep all that stuff out of your neighborhood. And, oh, by the way, you have to give up all your rights to everything you have about your home, but we don't tell you that. And at that point, I just realized there is nothing, at least in North Carolina and some of the other states that I communicate with, there's no recourse. I was listening to your interview 2 weeks ago with the attorney from Florida. It's even worse in North Carolina. We have nowhere. There's no regulation. There's no agency. There is nowhere, zero, nothing that any homeowner can do except hire an attorney.
Let me stop you right here, Jim, and let me, because I think this is very, very important. A number of states have something, a number of them, not a whole lot, but Nevada, Florida, Maryland, or Montgomery County in Maryland, Virginia. And it looks, for all intents and purposes, it looks like there's some adult supervision that's going on someplace in the state. This is nothing more than a placebo. And so any homeowner group out there that is advocating for something like Florida, something like Virginia, trust me, you don't want it, because it's an even bigger headache. It's an additional expense. It's a runaround. They're not allowed to do anything except tell you that you agreed, and if you don't like it, to move, which is what you get in your HOA anyway. This is not the way to provide any kind of adult supervision in an HOA. It does not work. Please don't be fooled by it. It may start off sounding good, but it does not work.
Well, I'm not advocating an ombudsman or something like that, but what I am advocating, and you can see it on my website, hoaowners.org, and there's a letter on there that suggests let's create what I am calling an HOA district court for dispute resolution, something analogous to small claims court, where you can go in and for, at least here, you, for $89, you can go in and you can have a magistrate adjudicate on a case up to $10,000 in damages for $89. I can go to court and I can show the court what's going on. We don't have that ability here. You cannot take an HOA case to small claims court. You can attempt it, but the judges will not hear it because they claim it's not under their jurisdiction. They kick it up to superior court, and now you're looking at a $10,000 retainer from an attorney if you can find an attorney to take a case. So there's what I'm proposing. It's not an ombudsman, but it is something, an agency where an owner can file a form like you do today. And I've said this to many people. Today, you can go on the Attorney General's website in North Carolina, and you can file a claim for a GE toaster that you bought for $12 at Walmart. And you can claim whatever you want, and they will hear it. They'll accept it. If you try that today and you put the word homeowner association in there, you get a nice note back in a form letter that says, we're not authorized to even take your complaint. We can't even take it. So what happens in North Carolina is the lobbyists and CAI and others will say, well, there's no complaints. Nobody's complaining. Yeah. Must be everything's okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm advocating is just to place a box where you can put a complaint and we can tally them up and say, hey, Mr. Legislator, here is what's going on. Don't listen to these people that tell you there are no complaints. There are no complaints because there's no way to record them. And that's a problem. That's a problem.
That's why I started my website from the HOA trenches, because exactly what you're talking about happens all the time. You contact your legislator, you contact someone in authority and you say, look, I need some help. This is what's happening. So who do they go to? They turn to CAI for help. CAI says, but it's an isolated incident. It's just a disgruntled homeowner. We know that homeowner. They're always causing problems. These things just simply don't happen. It didn't happen
Correct.
The way she said it. So the reason I started this website is so that everybody can tell their stories, and their stories will all be in one place. So anytime a legislator is told, oh, it's just a disgruntled homeowner, it's an isolated incident, you point them to that website and you go, there are some more of your isolated incidents. So bring them up. I want to show that it's not just happening in North Carolina. It's not just happening in Virginia or Florida or anywhere else. It's happening all over the country. And the common denominator is CAI and the attorneys, the manager. They've all been trained at the same spot. Yeah.
Yep. I know in my own HOA, I'm having an issue here, and I got an email yesterday from the owner, the president of the management company, after I had asked for some documents to show that we were, in fact, putting $35,000 in excess funds from last year and that we were rolling it over as we were told it would be, rolled over into the reserves for this year. And we've got an annual meeting tomorrow night, so I was asking for the information to substantiate it. I get a nice note from the property management company owner who manages, 300 homes around North Carolina, or 300 properties. And they get a nice note, and he says, the board has advised me not to be involved in these issues with you and has advised me to tell you that you cannot communicate with me or the board unless you do it through the attorney.
Yeah.
From you. So what's the attorney done in this case? He's made sure he's got more billable hours.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, this is a typical industry tactic. They isolate you, they marginalize you, and they bring the attorney in. And the attorney scares them. Oh, my God, if you don't do this, he's going to sue you, and he's going to do this, and you're going to lose your home. And, you go ahead and find him and get his home, but you can't do that. It's you're absolutely right, Jim. It happens all the time.
Yeah. Well, and There is a precedent, I think, with the Colorado group, and they've been fighting transfer fees, and I know that's a topic of current interest, but they've also been fighting, started, I think, about 5 years ago, they got an agency within the state to at least agree to collect complaints with, you know, it's the Department of Real Estate, I think, in Colorado. I have to, but they got them to agree at least to allow for a complaint to be filed, because what they were fighting in Colorado is the same thing we've talked about here.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's saying, oh, there's no problems. And the,
yeah.
even the news media, I've been on all four network shows in the Charlotte area, and two of the reporters would call me and say, hey, I got another HOA issue. You're my consultant. You're the only one I can trust.
Yeah.
You want to go on the air? Well, what happened? The management of those four networks, Fox included, the management said, we don't care about these stories anymore. It sounds like a bunch of grumbling by a few irate homes that don't really have a problem.
Yeah.
Does that sound fair? Do you think somebody got to the management of those companies and said, don't put that on the air anymore?
Well, you see, we're talking about governments providing some adult supervision, right? We're asking the governments to provide us with a court system that's going to hear these complaints. The fact is, Jim, that HOAs, you know, the government wants to collect your tax dollars. They don't particularly want to do anything to earn those tax dollars. So to ask them to spend more money, I mean, it's counterintuitive. They're trying to dump all of that stuff, and now we're asking them to take over more stuff.
Yeah.
The networks make a lot of money from development.
All of the
building industry is spending billions of dollars now. It's not good to constantly put stories on that shows what a crock it is they're advertising. That's, you know, they want the money. They want the advertising money. So the homeowners are kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. One of the best solutions that I have seen, heard, or anything is the one here in Virginia, the Ferran case. I mean, the HOA bankrupted themselves. They kept losing in court. But the homeowners decided they couldn't extinguish the HOA. So what they did was they gutted the HOA. The HOA has no covenants, no architectural control committee, no nothing. The only thing that they can do is collect money to maintain the 1 acre of common area. It's easier for them because Old Belhaven doesn't, it's not very big and it doesn't have a whole lot. But again, if you got everything in there.
Well, the question is then, how do you get that done?
How do you get it done? You have to get all the homeowners to agree to it. You have to amend the governing documents. It's not easy. It can be
now
done.
Now we're on another subject. That is, when people say to me, ask me, and I've served now across the state, I've got involved in this, and I'm a consultant, primarily business management consultant, with small businesses. So I've got 30 years of background in doing that, and I've hung my shingle out as an HOA consultant for homeowners. And people say, well, what are the biggest problems? And I say, well, dispute resolution is probably a big one. Education and training of homeowners so they know what's going on is another one. Open and full disclosure of information from the HOA to owners is a third one. And then I'll stop and I'll say, well, but the biggest problem, single biggest problem, is they can't get homeowners interested enough to get involved. They're fearful. They don't want to be involved because, hey, this is my home. I shouldn't have to do this. And because of apathy, I've had a standing offer in this state. We have 100 counties in North Carolina, and it's a 12-hour drive from one end of the state to the other. I have offered for 4 years, if a homeowners association can get 5%, just 5%, which is half of the normal requirements for a meeting quorum, if you can get 5% together in a room at the same time, I'll come and give you a 4-hour course, the same course I've written for the Real Estate Commission, which, by the way, they don't seem to want to approve. But I'll offer that course, and I'll do it for free. You know how many offers in 4 years? I mean, how many? One. One community has taken me up on that. But I get calls 10 times a week, including from the governor's office, because people call the governor's office asking for help.
Yeah.
And the governor's office gives them my phone number.
Yeah. They used to do that with me. They used to do that with me all the time. Because nobody knows what the hell's going on. You know, CAI goes in with their dream legislation. They carry it. It gets passed. And then they end up with a mess. And so they add more and more stupid legislation and bog it down. And they have no idea what they're doing.
No idea. But I can't get a homeowner. We are having our second attempt at an annual meeting tomorrow night. In the 10 years that this community and that I'm in, 448 homes, this is the first time in the 10 years that the community has been run by the residents, the developer's gone. It's the first time in 10 years we couldn't hold an annual meeting because not enough people. We couldn't get 20%, which is what our documents require. But the meeting tomorrow night only requires 10%, and the board has 58 proxies that they went out and got to reelect themselves. So they're holding the meeting at 5 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon.
Okay, let me ask you something. I want to take you back to something you said earlier, Jim. You said you contacted the management company and you wanted to look at some documents and you were told that you were not allowed to talk to them. They were not allowed to talk to you. You have to go through their attorney. You do that to enough people. And they're going to talk to their neighbors. How many people do you think are going to show up to listen to a bunch of blowhards who just think they're God and they've placed themselves on the dais there? You know, it's not surprising that people don't show up. It's not surprising that nobody wants to have anything to do with it.
But I have tried for 6 years to get people to come together to have picnics and cookouts and just to chat and get to know each other. And 6 years ago, I got about 30 people to show up. Well, over the years, the boards, and it's basically been the same group of people running it, have managed to squelch it that now people don't come to anything. And these are my neighbors that I want to get along with, but nobody does anything with anybody.
Yeah.
Except the few that are on the inside that I call them the country club wannabes, who couldn't be a member of any country club, but they got the power now, so they got a few people around them, and they're running the show.
Yeah.
That's wrong. That's just morally wrong, and unfortunately the laws allow it.
Well, the laws encourage it, because that's the only way they're going to control you.
Think about it.
Every homeowner is being controlled from the lowest level. You're being controlled all the way up. And every layer of government relies on the lower level to control you. We can't have an uprising. We can't have homeowners, citizens, voters, taxpayers telling us what they want. We've got to tell them what we want them to know.
Right. No, I agree with you. I've done enough management consulting and enough organizational work from companies as large as GE down to a startup company. You're right on. You're exactly. But how do we change it? And I've got some ideas. And I presented these to the legislature in 2012, and they wrote a report that virtually included everything I suggested after a year's worth of studying and going around the state. And the first of those is to give the power back to the people and take away the use of proxies. Just absolutely eliminate proxies totally, because this is a government kind of operation. It's really not a corporate.
Actually, you don't want to do that, because it is through the proxies that you can take over your association, and I've done it.
It takes a lot of work. You can take over, but then I think, and here's my opinion on it, is then you become as bad as the HOA was.
No.
Because you've taken over rather than encouraging people to come to meetings.
No. Okay, no. Jim. We did that 25, 30, however many years ago when I first started getting involved in this back in the 80s. That's what I did. I walked around when the thing came out. I walked around with proxies. I got proxies. There were two of us running for the board. We were looking for two seats on a 9-member board, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we were not wanted. We walked in with a quorum. We had a quorum. I lost by one vote, which is kind of flaky, but, there's something really scary about that. We walked in with over a quorum. We had a quorum. We turned it in at the last minute. When the end of the election, when the results were announced, I immediately went to the person who won the seat that I was running for and congratulated her and offered to help her.
Uh-huh.
So all of a sudden, I was not this nasty person that everyone was talking about.
Right.
She had no intention. She was an unknown, and so they just slipped her in there. But she was going to be leaving. So about a month or two afterwards, she called me. And she said, "Shu, I heard some horrible things about you." She says, "I've gotten to know you. You're not at all like they said you were." She said, "I wanted you to be the first to know that I will be resigning my seat because I'm going to be moving out of the community."
Uh-huh.
And I thought, well, why are you telling me this? She says, "You do with it what you want." Remember I said there were two of us? I contacted the other person. I said, "Guess what? I just got a call, and this is what the call said." And he says, "Put in an application." I said, "I don't think I really want to do that. Put in an application." I did, and the board appointed me to fill that vacancy. And so now I'm on the board, right? Now I'm at the meetings. So I started writing a monthly newsletter. We had a newsletter. I started writing an article every month for my district. 1,300 homes, so it's a large association. And I started talking about the issues that were before us. Anything controversial, I would give both sides of the argument. On the one hand, this is what the proponents of this bill or this thing want, and on the other hand, opponents say this. Here's where I stand and why. I invite you to contact me, and I invite you to give me your thoughts. So all of a sudden, we had standing room only at our meetings, Jim. Anybody who wanted to see something, I had the board packet in front of me. Anyone who wanted to see something, I gave them my board packet right there at the meeting in front of everyone to look at. I said, "It's your association. You are paying for it. It affects you. You have as much right to see this as I have." And the law was changed eventually, and now boards and HOAs are required to make the board packets available to the homeowners at the same time that they're available to board members. So any and every homeowner has a right to request to look at it, not a copy, but to examine it. So it's, if you have a situation where you're actually trying to get homeowners involved and make sure that they have access to the information, they'll come.
That's not been my experience. It was 10 years ago. Absolutely, you're totally right on. But in the last 5 or 6 years, what I'm finding across North Carolina, because the laws allow the property management company and the board to be evasive and to simply refuse. And then at that point, the homeowners say, "Well, what's my choice, $10,000 and an attorney, or just not be involved?" And in this state, because there is no recourse, what you're describing can't happen.
See, the law says that the law say that they have to make it available. So it starts with making it available. You have that in front of you. Bring the attorney in. I've pinned attorneys down a number of times. They've given poor advice. They've given advice that is going to just work for them. And I go, "Here, please explain your advice, because here is the law. And I've talked to the legislators and asked them the intent of the bill, and here's what they told me. Now, your advice is counter that.
Well, you know, and I, yeah, I've been there, and I went so far, and I've talked to the North Carolina Bar, and they have an HOA committee. In fact, the former president of CAI's College of Attorneys is a guy by the name of Jim Slaughter, who's in North Carolina. Had lunch with him and another attorney just together, the three of us, and we talked about all these issues. And Jim's very reasonable. But Jim's a CAI guy, and he does occasionally represent homeowners, but most attorneys will not. And what I find in the way the law is written, the law in North Carolina is written that you can request information of the official records of the association without it being defined what that means. And so what I get back, and what I get back all the time from all over the state, is that, hey, I requested a certain document, and the HOA says, oh, that's private. That's private information. We can't share it with you under privacy laws. And because of the way the law is written, no attorney could press charges because they have done what the law literally requires them to do, which is to make certain documents available, namely the ones that are recorded in the courthouse. And that's all they'll supply. And that's all they have to supply by law. So you can't get an attorney or a judge to take an action on it because they haven't violated the law. Even though the law says that the records of the HOA be made available, all they have to do is say, oh, that's a private matter between us and so, and our CCNRs say that it's up to the board to decide that certain matters are private and cannot be released. So they run it fast, you know, and there's no way to object. I've gone to attorneys on both sides, including, you know, two attorneys that are CAI attorneys, and talked to private attorneys, and they said, no, until the law's changed, there's nothing that can be done.
In our laws, it actually tells you what you can withhold, and I think litigation that's going on.
Oh, you have to go to that.
You can withhold that information. You can withhold, and you should withhold the names of the people who are delinquent.
Right.
You should withhold any contractual information until the contract is awarded. Those are the areas, those are the things that you can and should withhold. Otherwise, every homeowner in that neighborhood, in that association, has a right to see everything else.
Well, yeah, but they can't. There's also a disclosure law in North Carolina that every home, except for new homes, but every home, the owner must reveal certain information to a prospective buyer. That was revised about 3-4 years ago to include the presence of an HOA, and they must reveal the name of the HOA, and the buyer then has the rights to approach through the seller, through the owner, to go to the HOA to ask for certain information. And one of the things that I have been asked is, well, I want to know what the current financial health is of the community. I want to know how many foreclosures have been brought on. I want to know what the current delinquencies are, not my name or address, but just total dollars. And I want to know how many there are. Now, I'm a business consultant also. Those are exactly the same questions that a business manager would ask. But in HOA law, and I went to the legal department at the Real Estate Commission, and I said, well, if I have a buyer that's asking for that information and the HOA refuses, what do I do? And the answer was, tell them to find another home somewhere else, or one that doesn't include an HOA, because I cannot enforce their refusal to give you that information.
There's a company out of Chicago, and I'm trying to find Association Evaluation, I think. I mean, I can send you the link.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have, Yeah, and they will go in and they will do a lot of that research for you. They have access to it.
Well, they don't have access because my HOA, and as I say, I run across this all the time. I'm talking with a person now who's in a community of about 110 homes. They've had four forced foreclosure by the property management company and never revealed it to the community, never passed it through the assets, and the property management company has taken those homes, selling them at their profit. That's going on, and we can't get the records.
See, that's wrong. And the attorney general or some legitimate
Nobody.
Is not going to look into that?
Nope.
See, if you go into 7-Eleven and steal a pack of bubble gum, the police will be all over you.
They will be all over you. Yeah, that's what I said. I can file a claim with a toaster I paid $12 for at Walmart. I can file that claim. But if I'm losing a $500,000 home because I'm $20 late, and that literally had this happen, not me, but literally somebody was $25 late because the HOA failed to post a check she had sent, and they came after her to foreclose for $25. Cost her $1,800 to pay off the attorney because his fees were that much. And I told her to go talk to a judge, which she did, and I was surprised, in Raleigh. Got a judge to talk to her, and the judge said, ma'am, I can't enforce that. If you take it to court, you better pay up or you're going to lose your home. So there we are. Until we have the laws changed, until we get owners to stand up.
That's one thing, Jim. I mean, you asked me the other day how we can do something at the national level. If we collect mm-hmm. these stories and put it on the national skyline.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe not this administration, but hopefully, Washington mm-hmm. will start waking up really soon and start doing something about this. But we need to get all these stories in one place.
Have you looked at my website lately? It has got, I'm just on the home page, it's probably got 100 stories right there.
I've looked at I haven't looked at your website lately, but I will.
And I think you're right. It's awareness. I was asked recently in another interview, what did I think was the most important thing? And I think the most important thing is education of owners and buyers and people that are looking at buying either a condo, and in some ways it's worse with condos, but education and awareness and involvement, I think, would change everything. Because right now, the information that CAI puts out is not refuted by anybody. Owners are not involved and they're fearful. And they're told, oh, if you want to live here, you have to sign this. But they don't know what they're signing. Let me give you an analogy. Let's say I go down to my local car dealer and I'm looking to buy a car and I'm going to finance it through my credit union. So the car dealership's not involved. But I have to, in order to buy this car, I have to sign a document that says the car dealership will tell me when I have to do the maintenance, where I have to do the maintenance,
right,
how many miles to put on the car, and how I must keep it cleaned. And the car dealership has the rights to take the car back from me if I don't do everything that they say I have to do. How many cars would they sell?
No, they wouldn't. And I've used that analogy, that same analogy as well. Would you buy that car from that dealer? Would you
No.
allow yourself to be their puppet? You know, would you jump to their tune? And you're
But
absolutely correct. But here's what else is happening. And I don't know about where you are, but where I am and in a lot of parts of the country where they're urbanizing things. They're just cramming people in. It's the new urbanist looking, the walkable communities.
There's no
room for anything. I mean, we were a suburb. We are now an urban center.
Right.
Fairfax County. And if you listen to If you listened, watch the returns last night, they kept pointing to Fairfax County. This is where everybody is in Virginia, you know. We're kind of tucked up in there. But the thing is, over 90%, and, you know, some years ago it was over 90%, so it's well, well over 90%. Over 90% of all housing in Fairfax County is in an HOA. So try and if you want to buy something,
you have to.
You're screwed big time.
Yeah, right. Well, we have something on the order of 18,000 communities in North Carolina that since 1998 had to be in an HOA. If a developer wants to develop a community in this state and it has 20 or more lots, it must be incorporated as a nonprofit HOA. Must be. And so what's been built since 98, virtually all of them, 60% of our community, or 60% of homes that are owned, then that includes condos and homes, 60%, or that's the estimate, of people in North Carolina live in an HOA community, and virtually all of them since 98 that have any amenities at all or are of any size are in an HOA, and you have no ability to buy anything else. No choice. And it's that lack of choice, and people sign the document and say, well, yeah, I'll keep my car, you know, I'll do my stuff, I'll take my trash out, I'll abide by the rules, but just don't bother me.
Yeah, because they have no choice.
No choice. And so the apathy is no choice. So am I going to my homeowners association meeting tomorrow night? Probably not. Why bother? And that's what's happened across the country.
Yeah.
Why bother?
Yeah.
Now, what do we do? What do we do? Let's not walk away from it. If we need a Donald Trump here and pick it around and make it happen. You know,
today is Dr. Seuss's birthday.
Ah.
And I have a couple of Dr. Seuss quotes that I think now might not be a bad time to bring them up.
Okay.
And one of them is, in the turtles, of course, all the turtles are free as turtles and maybe all creatures should be. So I think that what he's saying is that even though turtles are free, all creatures should be free. But then how do you make sure that all creatures are free? How do you make sure that homeowners understand what they're getting into and maybe have some input? Do we really want this? And let's clear away the lies, because there's so much nonsense, so much misleading information tied to HOAs. People think that, oh my God, if I don't have an HOA, my neighbor's going to paint his or her house front door red and it's going to devalue my property. No, it's not. Get serious, people.
No.
So,
no.
Unless, how do we do it? Well, unless people get involved, it's, you know,
right,
they're just going to go along with it. So here's my other quote for you, Jim, and I've got you in mind for this one. Unless someone like you cares a whole awful lot, nothing is going to get better. It's not.
Yeah. Oh, agreed. Now, how do we get, I would like to get 10%. Give me 10% of a community to come together to a meeting, because I can get that and build it to 20%. I can build it to 50% if the people believe that what they're doing is going to make a difference.
Free food.
Pardon?
I said free food. That's how you get people to meetings. you promise the free. Look, seriously. Go to your local supermarket. Go to, I don't know what time you're going to do it, but.
I've tried it. Sue, I've tried this for the last 3 years.
Free food?
With free food cookouts, come over. But what's happened is people are so afraid to assemble together for something that they might be then penalized for. There is such a fear.
Do it away from the association.
We've done that. I with another person, we met at a local IHOP and we had dinner, and we did it for a while until the board found out about it and started sending nasty notes to people and stopped them. I mean,
wait a minute. A bunch of you were meeting at an IHOP for dinner, and the board stopped it?
Well, they found out who was going, when they were going, what they were doing, and they quietly, subversively went out. And I know it because people were sending me emails from, in one case, he said, I'm sorry to send it to you from what appears to be a foreign address, but I didn't want the HOA to be able to track me. Now, this is my story, but I'm hearing this from all across the state. My website's got 57,000 hits on it, and I get calls all the time, and it's the same story. And that's what made me get involved in this.
Okay. I want to go back to what your board did. What exactly did they do? What did they say? Did you're having dinner? That you're having dinner with your neighbors, and you can't do that?
We're having dinner, and we're conducting official HOA business unauthorized. That's illegal and improper, and cease and desist. And the threat, I mean, they had no substance, no legal right to say that. But a lot of things that get said are not based on anything other than power. And people were afraid to continue to assemble.
So what did you do when that happened?
Well, when people stopped coming, we had about four or five of those meetings. And people stopped coming.
So you only had four or five people coming?
No, we had four or five meetings where we had 20.
How many people were coming?
Oh, the very first one, we probably had 25.
Out of 400?
Well, at that time, there were about 350 in the community.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But of late, I mean, right now, we're built out and we got 428 homes. Last time I attempted this, I had two people show up. Two. And when we have open meetings, by the way, our board, because in North Carolina, the board does not have to open the meeting. Any board meeting does not have to be opened to the community. The law says that the board must give owners an adequate amount of time at meetings to ask questions of the board. And without describing how often that is or what they have allowed to do or whatever. So our board holds closed meetings, and then they open the meeting for whoever wants to come and ask a question. And we typically, out of 420, we've gotten anywhere from 2 to 10 people show up to ask questions with no idea what was on the agenda of the meeting that was just concluded, with no input. And documents of the HOA are being changed by the board. This just happened yesterday, without the community knowing about it, because we're not allowed to go to the meetings. But that's legal. That is all legal.
So you've been working with legislators. Have you? What's their take on this? What? I mean, I'm sure you've explained to them what's going on. What do they say about it?
Well, it's interesting. Two of those legislators were on the air, both Fox News and NBC. Two of those legislators were on the air with me in the same topic being presented on the air. One of them was a legislator, had been there for a number of years. The other one was a new guy up for election. He's now in the Senate of North Carolina into his second or third term. Both of those guys were on the air saying, we need to make changes. We absolutely, this is not to be tolerated. We need to make changes. Just talked to a brand new House of Representatives guy whose father and he own a property management company, and he said the same thing to me. We've got to make changes to protect our citizens. None of them have been able to get any other support within the legislature because the lobbyists have told them, oh, that's just an isolated problem. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. So the three guys that I had been cultivating for about 5 years now have just backed off. They can't get any support. So what do you do? What do you do? Unless I get a petition signed by 100,000 people, I don't think there's a chance of anything really going on, not in this state.
I don't know. I hate to give up that easily.
I'm not giving up easily. I've spent $20,000 of my retirement money, and I am under duress from the HOA every day when I drive through here. I watch my car to make sure it doesn't get burned. I had a board member damage the side of my car with his fist in a fit of rage one day. I mean, you know, I don't know what to do. And I'm not giving up, certainly not giving up. But I think the change that I'm looking for is, first of all, more education, more openness and transparency, and more education, training, even licensing, if you want to go to that point, for property management companies that don't know what they're doing.
You know, having a license is not going to make you honest. What you're seeing is there's just rampant theft and embezzlement going on. And if what you say is, you know, as common as I think it may be, you've got managers who are actually foreclosing on people's homes and pocketing the money. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. That's, you know, all of this corruption has...
Oh, but it's legalized.
I understand. I understand that it's legalized. Then ask them to change the law and say... It is now legal in North Carolina to embezzle, to foreclose, to do this. Put it in writing and go ahead and vote for it. Put it in plain English. I'm tired of the, you know, trying to guess what people mean. Yeah. Put it in plain English. It is now perfectly legal in the state of North Carolina to fine and to embezzle and to steal from homeowners. Put it in that and ask them to carry the bill, because that's what they're doing, except they're wrapping it up in nonsense.
Yeah, that's what I did last week. There are two boxes on my website that say, one of them says failure for dispute resolution and the other says failure of records inspection. What those are, if you go to the links on those are letters with information with verbatim statements back from property management companies. And those letters went directly to every single legislator in the state, citing the three laws that they have passed that are not being enforced. And the question, why are you, the legislators, passing laws and not providing for enforcement? Here's real life example. And I'm challenging them and saying, we're going to bring this to the forefront because you passed laws, but you're not allowing for any way of enforcing them. So let's, and I'm trying to, in a sense, I'm trying to be a Donald Trump and embarrass them. They passed the law, but they didn't provide for any protection.
Well, they don't, you know, yeah. When you're going to write to the legislators, remember, they're getting millions of letters. And if they open it and it's just streams of stuff, they're not going to read it. I don't read it. If you want to send me something, send me two or three sentences and I'll read it. If you send me oodles of stuff, I just don't have the time. And it's the same with the legislators. Just two or three sentences.
I'm sending them bullet short emails.
Okay.
That they're acknowledging them. And in those, if they want to go further, are links to further information. So the email is sort of a mini website in itself. But, you know, they will acknowledge it. They'll say, yeah, we need to do something. But when it comes right down to it, they've been told by CAI and others that, oh, that's not really a problem. Don't worry about it.
Well, maybe we'll bring them on the show and have them explain why they agree with us, but they're not doing anything. How about that?
I've offered to go on the air with our local ABC station with an HOA attorney who they had on one of their features on six months ago. I've offered to do that on the air in a group, and I've called for and asked for, in fact, the legislator supported forming an HOA task force. And that got voted down by the lobbyists, even though the legislature recommended it.
Jim, we are out of time. I want to thank you so much for coming on. I hope you'll come back. Good luck with what you're doing, and please keep in touch with us.
I will, and ask people to go to the website, NC HOA Laws.
Okay, give us your website.
HOAOwners.org.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.